Well, good morning again, everybody. My name's Neil. I'm the Senior Minister here at London Road Baptist Church. And we're gathered again recording this service for you with the help of Martin Rivett and John Reid, who will be helping me this evening with this service. And hopefully you're going to enjoy this on Sunday morning. If you've stumbled on us on YouTube, then revisit us through our church website. That way you'll learn something about who we are, but you'll also learn a little bit more about the church, and you'll be able to view a video of all the songs and the total production we make on a Thursday night, which is sometimes limited for copyright. So it's just really good. I don't know if you're like me, but I just feel a little bit deflated over this whole coronavirus situation. It's in a week where Scotland's been locked down. They're talking of locking down parts of the north, and we just seem to have the confusion of everything that's happening in America. And to me, not being political, it's just theatrical. I can't make sense of it all. And the times in which we live are unique, and they're not unique for God's people. And so let's just reflect now as I begin by reading to you the beginning of Psalm 86. And the psalmist is probably says exactly what we want to say. He says these words: "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you." But then he's optimistic because he says, "For you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name." And so in this little opening, the psalmist then begins to remind himself of all the good things about God. And we need to do that. And then he continues. And the psalmist says, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God." And then he goes from his cry of mercy and looking at his time of trouble. And he looks positively forward and he says these words: "All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord, and they will bring glory to your name." In the end, it's all going to be okay. The psalmist says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All the nations you have made will come and worship you. But we can worship God freely this morning. And we're going to do this in the words of our opening song. And rather than having a complex video to accompany the song, when the song starts, there's just the simpleness of the cross. And I want you to reflect on this cross and let the cross speak to you as together we worship God with this wonderful song, "Here I Am to Worship."
Sing.
So let's now just pray to the altogether worthy one, to the altogether wonderful one. So we thank you, Lord, that you stepped into this world, and it was dark when you stepped into it, and it can still be dark today. Yet in this darkness, Lord, you can open our eyes and we can see you for who you are, and you can lift us from despair. And so, Lord, we want a deeper life with you. And so, Lord, here we are in our homes, in our cars, in our communities, just listening to this tape. And we want to bow down, not literally if we're driving, Lord, but we just want to bow down in adoration to you and say afresh that you're my God. And in saying that you're my God, we're just acknowledging that we're your children. And so we exalt you, and we thank you for this earth that you has created. But Lord, we pray for this world that's presently so damaged. Damaged with virus, damaged in the environment, damaged by the foolish decisions we make. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of this world. Help us to be true disciples of you. And help us to worship you. Because we say again that you are our God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. And when we reflect on your past and present goodness, you remain altogether wonderful for each and every one of us. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, it's really good. I've got Martin with me, and in a moment, Martin's going to come and bring our prayers. We are socially distancing here, and as I said 2 or 3 weeks ago, we're now looking as to how we can commence some kind of COVID legislative meeting on these premises. But it's really good, and it's a great privilege for me to have Martin with us, and John regularly, and Stuart Smith, Lord. And I just want to say on your behalf, we thank you for them. But Martin's going to come and lead us in a time of prayer. And then when Martin has finished, John's going to come and bring our reading to us today. So make sure you've got your Bibles. We're on Luke 19, verses 1-10. I'm saying that now so you can get your Bible. And John's going to bring that reading. And then we're going to look at this passage together. So there'll just be a slight moment of change now as I move away and Martin comes and brings our reading and our prayers.
Lord, there are so many things to pray about. Let us pray, as it were, in ever-decreasing circles. First, then, for the world affected by what is a global pandemic. We are so fortunate in this land. Help us to think of those in the third world, where social distancing is impossible and medical assistance unavailable. And for those in countries with corrupt governments, we pray for cooperation between scientists in all the countries working to develop a COVID vaccine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For our nation, that our leaders may work for the good of the country, regardless of party political issues. Especially, we pray for our Christian MPs. For medical professionals involved in the fight against coronavirus, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For our town, we pray for this town of Lowestoft and all the expressions of Christian faith from the various churches, and for the Lowestoft chaplaincy team. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For our church, for those who are able to attend our online events, and for those who are unable to access them, for our work with children and young people, for the plans to restart socially distanced Sunday services next month. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For our friends, for those who are struggling at this time, whether physically or emotionally, we commend to you all those who are listed on the weekly thingy, the church notice sheet, week by week. And for those others who are not listed but are known to us and to you. In particular, this morning, we lift up to you Terry, Vicky, Amber, Peter and Doreen. We pray for our friends outside the church. May we be good witness to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For our families, we pray for all generations, for children and young people, that they may cope with the changes to their home and school lives, for adults, whether at home, at work, or at college, for safety and ability to keep us all healthy by following the government guidelines, and for older people, parents, grandparents, who may be confined to home and perhaps unable to have contact with children and grandchildren, grant them health, Lord, and patience. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And finally, for ourselves, may we keep fit, may we keep caring, may we keep cheerful. Your word says in Nehemiah, let there be no sadness, for joy in the Lord is your strength. May it be so for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear all our prayers, spoken and unspoken. Amen.
As Neil said, our reading this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be with the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost.
Well, thank you, Martin, and thank you, John. That was really good. And as I say, I'm so privileged to at least be able to worship God and be in God's house with other friends. But as Martin says, we're hoping to return in some way to services here very, very shortly. Now, to help what John read so well, but to help you just get a little bit more understanding of the Zacchaeus story, we've just got a very short video clip now. It will come on your screens at home, and this will further amplify God's word there in Luke 19, verses 1 to 10.
This man truly is a prophet.
My Lord and Master, save me.
Hey, Oh,
Lord, save us, save us.
Lord.
Show us the true way, Lord.
Please, stop.
Move out of the way.
That's the tax collector!
Hurry down, Zacchaeus. For I must stay in your house today.
My house?
You want to stay in his house?
Zacchaeus, no, Jesus.
What, rich friend? Rich?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, excellent.
Listen. I give half of my belongings to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much.
And I don't believe it. A tax collector paying back his taxes.
Impossible.
Salvation has come to this house today. For this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Well, here I am. There's going to be two changes this morning. On Thursday evening for me, I'm preaching without glasses, and I'm also preaching without notes. And I said we'd give it a go at just looking at God's Word together. I've done all my preparation in my head. I hope it comes back to my words and it expresses something of my heart. So here we are with this wonderful passage when Zacchaeus encountered Jesus. And we're calling this series Encounters with Jesus. I'll let you into a little secret, but as you know, I trained at Spurgeon's College, and one of the things we had to do at Spurgeon's College was preach to the entire faculty, all the lecturers, the principal, and all the students. And it was that dreaded thing that each student had to do once in their time at college. This was my passage, and I was sharing with John and Martin earlier. I know it sounds odd, but this is my favourite passage in the whole of Scripture. So I want to go through, I've underlined a few words, and I'm just going to go through this passage. I hope you've got your passage at home. So we read that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now note there that Luke tells us initially that it's Jesus who's passing, the Saviour of the world. Jesus means Saviour. And so we just sort of adopt that word purely as a name, but the Saviour entered Jericho. But Luke wants to tell us that he's passing through. This wasn't a planned place. This is now the last week, really, of Jesus' life. He's on his way to Jericho. And this is right at the centre of Luke's gospel. And his main aim is to get to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is where we see the cross. Jesus becomes the Saviour at the cross. And so Luke tells us he was passing through. And he tells us there was a man there. Also, Luke wants to tell us it's in Jericho because the Bible talks about real places and real people. It's riveted in history. And he was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. I'll say something about that name in a moment. But the Word of God tells us he was a chief tax collector. He'd done well. Bent as a nine bob note, but he was senior management. And the Bible tells us that he was wealthy, but somehow this wealth hadn't brought him any wholeness to his life. He'd reached the top position and he'd got top money, but somehow there was something missing in his life. You know, you can know the value of everything, but not really profit by it. You can have a big house, but not a home. And so Jesus is passing. And I want to say, for some people listening this morning, Jesus is passing you. There's things for you to learn this morning because Jesus isn't always around. I know we say he is, but there is opportunities in your life and my life when we can make changes with Jesus. There's a big change when everybody becomes a Christian. You won't have the endless time. And so this is about a guy who seized the opportunity. Let's put the next slide on, Martin. And it says he wanted to see who Jesus was. That's an interesting statement. He'd heard things about Jesus, but this is a guy who said, I want to know for myself who this Jesus is. Now, we don't know if he wanted to see Jesus because he'd heard good things about him or he'd heard bad things about him. But I think he'd heard good things. We know that one of Jesus' disciples is Matthew. And now you may recall, Matthew's job prior to becoming a disciple was a tax collector. Here we've got a guy at the top of his profession. I believe he would have known who Matthew was. And he'd have been confused about the choices that Matthew had made to stop being a tax collector and starting to be a follower of Jesus. And you may know people who have radically changed their lives, and it's suddenly making you think, well, that's a bit weird. They seem to have lost it. They've got God in their lives. Have they lost it or have they found it? You know, is becoming a Christian a good thing or a bad thing? So he wanted to see who he was for himself. Don't listen to other people about Jesus. Find out from Jesus who Jesus says he is. But it says, but being a short man, he could not. Now, when we leave that word short, in the English language, you think it's a little fat bloke like me. It's not. The word short in Greek is a derogatory term. And really, it was childish. He was an unpleasant person. And so that translation of the word short isn't really accurate, in my opinion. And he couldn't because of the crowd. Now, let me tell you, when you want to become a Christian, there's going to be people who think you've lost it and will try and stop you seeing. If this Jesus is real, everything is going to stop you trying to find him. If we believe in good and evil, as long as you're not interested in Jesus, evil has no part in your life. You're just a product of it. When you become a Christian, or you try and become a Christian, evil, the devil will stop you. He doesn't want you to find Jesus, so the crowd stops him. But it says then that he ran ahead. Now that's interesting. I've underlined the word ran, and in the Middle East, it was undignified to run. You strolled. And only working class people ran. So if you ever watch things like Gladiator, you see the guy in the chair being carried by Russell Crowe's mates, and everybody else is running. The lower the class, you involved in running. It was an undignified thing to do. It was a childish thing to do. But you know, the Bible says, unless you and I become like children, unless we sacrifice our reputations, we won't find Jesus. So he runs, and it says he climbed a sycamore tree. Well, the only reason it says a sycamore tree, I believe it would have been a sycamore tree, but the branches on a sycamore tree come quite low down, and it sort of just further validates the story. It was an easy tree to climb. Because Jesus was coming that way. Now, I want to tell you that if you've clicked onto this service, this same Jesus is coming your way this morning. And if you're listening to this as a non-believer, as a non-follower of Jesus, this is a Jesus coming your way story, an opportunity for you. Next one, Martin. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at him and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Now, Jesus knew all about Zacchaeus, because this Jesus is the Son of God. He's God himself. Zacchaeus wasn't a stranger to Jesus. Jesus was a stranger to Zacchaeus. And I want to tell you this morning that you are not a stranger to Jesus. Jesus knows all about you. He knows all about your mistakes, all about your stupidity. He knows everything about you. He knows your name. You may not know him, but the Bible tells us that the very hairs on your head are counted, and he knows you intimately. And so Jesus is passing your way. And if you're listening to this sermon this morning, Jesus is interested in you. You've not blown it with him. Now that's an interesting word, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus means righteous one. It means pure one. It means one that is set aside. And that's why you get this word Zac within the scriptures. You get Zachariah. You get all these different Zacs. And what Jesus is doing, he's shouting to the crowd, he's saying, righteous one, pure one, I must stay in your house. No wonder the crowd think Jesus has lost it. Does he realize that he's calling this guy Zacchaeus? But you know, Jesus sees the potential of what you can be. He's more interested in what you can be and what you're called to be than what you actually are. And then he says, come down immediately. Now I want to tell you that if you don't know Jesus, then you need to respond to him immediately because he might not pass your way again. There's an urgency. You know, I think this coronavirus is awful. But it's killed around 50,000 people in this country alone who may have made different decisions about this Jesus if they knew their life was going to end, as tragic as it is. And so really, you think you can put off until tomorrow what you're going to do with this Jesus, but you may not have tomorrow, you only have today. And this is what happens in the Zacchaeus story. And so Jesus says, I must stay at your house. He's saying it's so important, I must get to know you. And when we've got the word house, in the Greek it's quite intimate. You only invite people into your house who are really close. He's saying, I must be close to you. I must come inside. But it's interesting. Look what happens here. So he came down at once. Zacchaeus responded immediately. And so I don't want to push the point, but if you're not a Christian, are you going to come down? And welcomed him gladly. He wasn't made to go to Sunday school. He wasn't made to follow Jesus. It was something he chose to do. And you can't make anybody a Christian, but anybody can become a Christian. And so he does this gladly. Let's move on, Martin. And all the people, these are the same people who run Zacchaeus down. This is the fickle crowd, saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. And what they was trying to do, they weren't looking at themselves. They was all mixed up people. I just want to tell you that everybody I come across as a minister's mixed up. Some are just a little bit on the outward side, more visually and more publicly mixed up. But we've all mixed up. And they're saying, he's gone to be the guest. The word guest, you could say friend. Jesus wants to be the friend of a sinner. We looked at this last week. Let's move on, Martin. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord. Now, I've underlined Lord because he met a bloke called Jesus. Now, you cannot tell me, as an educated person, Jesus never existed. To say to me, I don't believe in Jesus, is an idiotic thing to say, because Jesus is a historical character rooted in history. Saying you don't believe in Jesus or that Jesus existed is like saying, I don't believe in Julius Caesar. I don't believe in William the Conqueror. I don't believe in Napoleon Bonaparte. It's historically stupid. But Jesus suddenly becomes Lord. He met a guy from Galilee called Jesus, but he recognized that this Jesus was Lord. A Lord to love. A Lord to follow. A Lord that puts demands upon our lives. And when he understood who Jesus was as Lord, all the things that meant so much to him, all his wealth and all his greed, suddenly become secondary. He'd found fullness in Jesus that wealth and privilege had never given him. And so he says, look, Lord, here and now. Conversion is costly. You welcome Jesus immediately, but Jesus expects a change in your life immediately. If there's no change in life, William Barclay says, then there's no conversion. And so he says, I now give half of my possessions to the poor. You know, God's good. Some of us in this church are more wealthy than others. God doesn't say, you must give everything up and you must walk about with sackcloth. Look how much he lets him keep, half of it. There's not a, he's still a privileged position. He says, I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor. He doesn't need all what he used to need because he knows Jesus. Money left in the bank account unspent is just of no value. It's just a figure. And so he realized that. And if I have cheated anybody, look, he's taking responsibility for his mistakes. He's not saying if the system made me cheat anybody, if I have cheated anybody out of anything. He opens the floodgates. He's saying, if I have done anything wrong, then I'm going to try and put that right, and I will pay back four times. Now, the reason Luke tells us it's four times is that under the Jewish law, if you swindle somebody, you had to pay back double. So all those people who are in the crowd muttering, saying, he's gone to be in the house of a sinner, that sinner should give twice as much. He gives four times as much, and he says, I will. Not I must, I will. A transformation in his life. Let's move on. And so Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to your house. One of the great joys of being a Christian is that you can know today you're saved and cleaned up. We're not designed to live in the hope of the resurrection, in the hope of forgiveness, but the assurance of it. That's why those who are a bit older can sing hymns like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. There's no purgatory. There's no half in, there's no half out. This is the same Jesus that said to the guy on the cross, another robber he meets a week later, today you'll be in paradise with me. You can know what it is to be saved today, so you've got the security of an eternity. Salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. So he says to all the crowd, they're all Jews, and the father of the Jewish nation is Abraham. So he says, do you realize that this man has simply come home? He's where you all should be. But then Jesus goes further. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save. And that word there, Son of Man. So we've called Jesus by his Christian name. We've called him Lord. But now we're calling him the Son of Man. And this was shocking to the Jews, because the Son of Man means that this Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. And Luke is a Gentile writer of the New Testament, all the rest of Jews. And Luke understands that Jesus came to save everybody, not just the Jews. Because his main mission, his main task, is to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we began this story by calling him Jesus. And when Jesus was born, Mary was told by the angel, give him the name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. This is the pinnacle verse in the whole of Luke's gospel. The purpose of the whole of the gospel writing, the purpose of the church, and the purpose we must understand, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that may be you this morning. And it certainly was me many moons ago. I chose to make Jesus Lord. I hope you're going to do the same. Now, I mentioned to you that this Jesus knows who you are. When he came and he found Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. He knows your name. And this song, that's going to be a reflective song, will help you understand that Jesus knows all about you and he knows your name. And I just invite you to prayerfully meditate on the words of this song as you listen to it at home.
He knows.
So I hope you appreciate from the song that you just heard that this Jesus knows your name. And I'd like to know your name as well. And so if you've listened to this sermon and you've responded this morning, why not send us an email through the church website so I get to know you, so that this church gets to know you. If you're a regular with us and you'd like somebody to pray with you, then get on the phone to Bill and I. They're always available to pray with you. So it's been great being with you. And we're just going to draw now to a close with this wonderful worship song, Salvation Belongs to Our God. You know, you can't earn it. You can't inherit it. But our God can give it to you. Salvation belongs to our God, to my God, and I hope to your God. Bye, and see you next week.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God. And glory.